SBC Media.
Welcome to the iGaming Daily Podcast, analysing the news from the betting and gaming industry all over the globe, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market.
Last Thursday, Entain published its full-year accounts, revealing the scars of a problematic 2023. The long-awaited results of the FTSE Gambling Group left no place for hiding, as its leadership declared corporate losses of £900 million. Entain maintains that its dire 2023 results were down to legacy failings. Yet under the bonnet, the accounts detailed growing concerns across all markets, including elements impacting its growth child, BetMGM. 2024 will see a capital allocation committee appointed to review the firm's brand, portfolio, funding and operating structures, as big decisions are needed to turn around its performance and value. Can a leaderless Entain claw back its status and investors' trust as news circulates of M&A vultures targeting the sick man of gambling PLCs? I'm Martin Elliott, and welcome to today's edition of iGaming Daily, brought to you in partnership with Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. 56% of the EGR Power 50 personalise player experiences with Optimove. And, as a special offer, they are offering new clients a free first month when they buy Optimove. For more information and to claim the free month, go to optimove.com/SBC. Now, joining me today to discuss all things Entain is SBC's content director, Ted Menmuir. Hi, Ted. How are you?
Good, Martin. Good to be here with my Monday dancing partner.
Yeah, does seem to be getting becoming a fixture. Perhaps people will start talking to him.
I know. Yeah. Maybe we should do a dance at the next SBC summit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be worth the entrance fee alone, I'm sure.
I think talking about Entain, that would be a tango.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Well, there's plenty to get stuck into with Entain, certainly. I know you've been all over the Entain story for quite some time now. So perhaps I'll let you just recap on their 2023, you know, what we were expecting in these results and perhaps what actually happened.
Okay. I think this podcast has to go with a caution, and I'm going to point this back to you. I mean, how spicy do you want it?
Well, I believe our lawyer's on holiday, so not too spicy. But yeah, let's get into some of the details behind the headlines, though, because one of the things I guess we look at is you can read this stuff because they're in the listed in London. You'll read outline reports of this in the FT or the Times without it going into quite as much detail as we're able to. So it'd be nice to just dip into some of the real detail and some of the smaller stories as well.
Okay, so the analysis is they ended full year accounts, and I think you've got to separate the reported results versus the actual pro forma statements. And that is important for Entain because it's a company that, you know, for the last 2 years has pretty much shaped its organization entirely because of M&A. And it's that strategy that's being questioned at the moment. So net gaming revenues came up 5.6 billion. However, net gaming revenues declined by 2% to 4.8 billion. And the final kind of bottom line EBITDA results, they said that are maintained at 1 billion. However, corporate losses, because of the HMRC investigation, they had to take in a settlement of, they had to reserve £600 million on account, and that moved the company to combined losses of £900 million altogether. However, even in a bad year, they still provided a dividend of £130 million back to investors. So again, there are kind of complexities and there's kind of meanderings across every Entain product and across every Entain narrative as the company stands.
Sure. And the dividends there is an important point because it's fair to say relationships with some of their bigger shareholders have not been great over the past 18 months or so, in part because of that that M&A strategy, which some of their bigger investors really haven't bought into.
Yes, yes. And look, I think where we've got to now move on to is okay, accounts aside, it's what was actually said at their investor call and the issues that were brought up and what exactly are they trying to fix. Now, I think they've got a new corporate allocation team that is assessing the organization, its funding, its brand portfolio, and what's going to, and its actual operational strategy and structure. And pointing back to the investor call, the Entain's leadership still believes that it's got a fundamentally strong business. However, it's been distracted. And Stella David said that the company will no longer kind of take this approach of pretending to be an entertainment company. It is committed back to kind of reorganizing and getting back its brands up to speed. One of the key areas that was pointed out were the apps. They believe that the apps are underperforming, especially in the UK market. And another point highlighted is that they want to get they want to get return back to growth in Brazil, where they actually said that they let the ball slip.
Sure. I mean, the presentation is full of this phrase, we must win in the UK, the US and Brazil. So that mm-hmm. you can see where the priorities are. Is some of that focus, I mean, the American focus we'll come back to in a bit and talk about BetMGM. Some of the focus on Brazil and because of what they've sort of singled out as the regulatory headwinds in some European markets, which they've said will affect results this year as well, right?
I mean, interestingly, on the call, they kind of kept Brazil aside and said, look, our strategy hasn't been as effective as it should be. And the other thing is that they're putting a bigger emphasis there on localization, but actually getting localized management and talent out there. So actually building the foundation on which to launch and get a viable product in Brazil. And that's come with a complete restructuring of that unit.
Okay, well, it's interesting, isn't it, that they're putting all that emphasis on Brazil and the potential it offers and so on, and they've got big opportunity coming up with Copa America a couple of months' time and building up to some of the big sporting events later in the year. So that'll be interesting to see what they can do there. But what about the problems that they're continuing to have in Europe? I was struck by the sort of statement that, affordability, we've in the UK, we've implemented a solution already. It hasn't worked as well as we hoped it was going to, but we think everyone else is behind us, so we'll start picking up market share when smaller operators have to get this affordability thing. So an interesting development, that.
Yeah, that area got probed by the analysts on the call, as in, and then it's now 2024, and Rob Wood got asked to, you know, clearly explain why they reserved $40 million on account for UK and Netherlands headwinds. And, I mean, his explanation was actually quite thorough, in which he said, look, they are, if anything, it's a protective move, and that they think that they can, you know, come September, they can take advantage of the UK and its implementation of affordability checks and stake limits. So they want to be on the front foot to implement the procedure exactly as it should be. And it thinks that a lot of the smaller kind of midterm operators won't be successful at it, and then it can start to kind of turn around the UK market. So actually the outlook for the UK remains positive, as mentioned by the leadership team.
Okay. And what about looking sort of slightly further afield in Europe, in particular, I think looking at the presence in the Netherlands, and because I know their acquisition there hasn't been quite as smooth as they would like it to have been, and also Germany as well. Did they say much about that?
Again, the leadership team, they point to the Netherlands. The ongoing consultation, there's going to be a number of regulatory adjustments coming up from the end of this month right through to the end of the year. And they just summed up the Netherlands as a likely drag on performance. The other thing is that the Netherlands has been factored in because they believe, because of that market, it's going to impact the EBITDA margin of the company in H1. So, you know, we're talking about an Entain recovery, but, you know, the maths that's been kind of factored in is that they're going to go into 2024 with weaker margins in Europe because of regulatory adjustments. Another really interesting point here, and I think, like you said in your introductions, like when you start to think about these kind of M&A vultures, or what are they circling? One of them has to be Germany. Simply, I mean, Rob Wood stated that the market had now fallen to 3% of the revenue mix. He was unhappy with how there's been not even a kind of regulatory update on where the German market is going to head to. So it's very hard for them to kind of adjust the market where they don't know where kind of the pathway leads to, which I think is the difference between the UK, because yes, they can front load costs, but they can kind of have a strategy for the UK saying, look, well, come September, we might be in pole position to serve the customer better. Whilst I think they can't make that judgment in Germany and the Netherlands as it stands.
Sure. I don't think they're alone in being unhappy with the situation of the regulator and no clear plan seemingly in Germany. So what about then, just before we go into the break, let's take a very quick look at BetMGM, what's happening there, because they've dropped a bit of market share, and it looks like from the Eilers and Krejcik analysis, they've lost most of it, not to the challengers ESPN and Fanatics, but seem to have lost most of it to DraftKings.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that's the analyst takes, but leadership said it had a very solid year and BetMGM lived up to expectations. And long-term, they continue to believe that BetMGM will be the growth child that delivers 500 million EBITDA by 2026, yes? So, sure. Again, it's this narrative of I don't think that they want anything kind of standing BetMGM. That's what's bringing growth to the company, and that's where they want the investors to keep an eye on. It's the key. One of the things that got brought up at the investor call is that this is actually very much a critical period for BetMGM as a standalone business, in which it's going to integrate the Angstrom platform. And they believe that that will be the tool that delivers them kind of a diversification for US audiences out there. So that's going to be a key point of analysis in the coming months, how well they diversify their US sports offering.
Yeah, I know. So there was a real emphasis in the investor presentation on things like that, how they've improved the speed of the app in the US, and they've finally launched the same app in Nevada that they have in the rest of the US as well. So they're targeting some big savings and some just improved user experience to drive some revenue there. Let's go to the break, and when we come back, we'll start having a look at perhaps some of the future issues, some of the things we'll see coming up this year for Entain.
SBC Leaders connects the gambling industry's top-tier operators and associations to share the best ideas, collaborate on solving the biggest issues, and push innovation throughout the betting and gaming industry. If you're an operator and want to join the discussion, visit sbcleaders.com for more information.
Welcome back to part two of iGaming Daily, and as we break down Entain's financial results and take a look at the future of one of the UK, in fact, one of the world's biggest gambling companies. So, one thing we touched on very quickly in the first part was the establishment of this capital allocation committee to look at the future of, look at the future of a number of things, but in particular, we think the brand portfolio that Entain has. There's a number of rumours about what that might entail, and Entain, having gone through this huge acquisition drive, now they might be looking to actually sell off some of these business units. What do you know about that?
Okay, so on the call, they said that the Capital Allocations Committee has made no judgments so far on the business and has made no recommendations, and it's just currently assessing those key factors that you outlined: the brand portfolio, the funding, and the operational structure. However, look, one of the narratives that we're going to see in the next 6 months is that Entain are going to be the most talked about company in the industry. And there's going to be speculation surrounding the future of all of its assets and across every market. I think BetMGM, I think that all of those, all of its existing portfolio will be up for review.
Yeah, that opens up some the possibility of some fascinating deals, possibly later in the year or in 2025. But I think it also opens up for Entain the fact they're going to have to deal with a lot of speculation in the coming months. Even just off the back of this call last week, there was a headline in, I think, the Evening Standard, which indicated that, you know, they were thinking about selling Ladbrokes and Coral. But actually, when you dive down into the bottom half of the story, they said, well, actually, it's more likely we might sell Party Poker than Ladbrokes or Coral. So a lot of that sort of chat will be about, I think, in the coming months. I mean, is there any indication at all? Have you heard any rumours or anything, or...?
No, look, I mean, there will be a sell.
Yeah.
And they have to really shrink the size of a brand portfolio that carries 36 subsidiaries. Now, I think what the analysts and the city are expecting is, how does Entain proceed with shrinking its portfolio? But one of the judgment calls it has to make is, does it just proceed with just selling the assets and doing a fire sale and just getting rid of them? Because at least you're executing that strategy of getting smaller and getting to somewhere where you need to be. What Entain can't do is they can't stand still. So I don't think that this leadership team or the next CEO coming in is going to be given a six to 8 month period to kind of review the strategy. I think that if they commit to a sell, that they will commit to selling a brand just to get rid of it off the books.
Okay, so we can probably look forward to some lengthy pieces from industry analysts about why they've sold certain brands at a loss, we think, coming up in the a nominal loss. But
But I think, look, I mean, one of the things you can tell straight away from the analyst call is that no one thinks that a 36 brand portfolio is sustainable at the moment. And also, it's, why are you upkeeping these brands in markets where it's so hard to get any market share in? So again, I think you're looking at kind of Germany and its exposure to that market and saying, well, you know, you can spend multi-millions per year, but you're not going to get, without any guarantee of growth or kind of emboldening your market position within that market.
Oh, sure. So we think really that moving forward then, the focus might be improving their market share in the UK and improving profitability in the UK, taking advantage of the Brazil opportunity. Although there are, 230 brands looking to go into Brazil. So that's going to be a really tricky thing for anyone to succeed in. And then the third strand of this, make BetMGM, consolidate BetMGM's position as a top three in the US and continue to grow, continue to move towards actual profitability rather than just market share there. So that's going to be,
that's step in. I mean, that's a big, big plan to execute.
Right? Yeah, and those are a lot of it.
You know, I think you raised 4 or 5 points where, yes, they want to get it right. Yeah, mm-hmm. But look, if you even take BetMGM, consolidate that third place in the US. But what that third place has proven to be in the US is that is the spot where you keep on getting picked off. So they're saying, look, we're losing market share to your DraftKings and your FanDuel at the top half, but then you've got the new market entrants, you know, such as ESPN, Fanatics, right? So that is kind of like the dreaded position to be in, right? That third spot for the US. In the UK, again, they're front-loading costs to meet the regulatory changes, right? But there's no guarantee that that's going to work out for them come September. So it might be another year of paying high adjustment fees in the UK and gaining no market share. I think, again, this turns back to where do you want Entain to be at the end of the year and in what shape do you want it to be in, right? And, again, this might point to an absolute gutting of the company. But one of the areas that they said, I mean, going back to the investor call, one of the areas they highlighted for growth was Eastern Europe, which they're now even changing the account setup to kind of reflect growth in that market. So they really praised Supersport and the fact that they are the dominant bookmaker in Croatia. And then if the integration of SDSS Poland goes well, you've got another kind of podium place in Central Europe. So another area that I would be kind of observing is what do they do with that part of the business? Could that be kind of separated out? Could that be spun off? Going back to my notes, one key stakeholder to look at and to keep a close eye on will be Samir Dean, who's the new Chief Strategy Officer and President of New Ventures for Entain. And he's been tasked with setting up the principal strategy of what Entain does with its brand portfolio and its product focus.
Okay. Now, there's still, of course, a very big gap in the leadership team. I know Stella David is sitting in as CEO at the moment. And two parts to this question. Have they indicated whether they're close to finding a new CEO? And also, it's a hell of a job, this, isn't it? All this stuff that's going on that you've outlined here, you just sit there. You need somebody with, not to sound too rude about it, somebody with a big ego who thinks they can take on this job and emerge with their reputation enhanced at the end of it.
Yeah. And I think you've hit it there. But if I can just ask you for your take on what you saw in the investor call, do you think that Entain has harmonized the strategy with its investors in terms of what it wants to do with the company, its funding, its structures, its brand portfolio? Because it came across as there's still a lot of things up in the air that need to be kind of finalized between the investors and the actual company.
Sure. I mean, I think they've bought themselves, the leadership have bought themselves a bit of time with the appointment of one of the activist investors to the board. And they are working towards it. They are clearly working towards where their institutional or their bigger investors want them to be, I think. But it's a long way to go. A lot of the things that, or some of the things that the investors really want to see in terms of streamlining the product and, you know, above all, increasing the value in the business, making it a more valuable asset, possibly a more saleable asset, which is what definitely what some of them want. It's a lot of work. You can't just turn it around in overnight to hit this strategy. So,
yeah,
that's the other thing the new CEO is going to have to deal with, the knowledge that they're not going to get a lot of time to hit the ground running because these investors are, they might be slightly calmer than they were 5 or 6 months ago, but they're still ready to act as soon as it's not going in the direction they want it to go in.
I mean, and Tain kept on talking about kind of the legacy failures from its GVC era, but I also think that one of the failures that Entain went through, or it's that since it launched BetMGM, it really has only had like one narrative of for growth or kind of for where the company wants to be. And that's like, oh, we are MGM's partners and we've got this joint venture in the States. And I think when you compare it to, well, its main competitor, Flutter has got many more narratives of them. It was like, these are our target areas for growth. This is our strategy. This is how we, you know, we see ourselves in the future. And I think Entain has just had one area of focus in the last 2 years. And when that kind of started to hit headwinds, it hasn't had anything to fall back on. And I think that's been an area of concern for investors.
That's an interesting analysis, and I can't really disagree with that. That's I hadn't thought of it in those terms prior to that, but that does make perfect sense. And if they continued on that with BetMGM being this sort of the jewel in the crown and so on, I think that, you know, they might still struggle to satisfy investors because that, as we're seeing, it's just difficult to make money in the American market. However much market share you get at the minute, it still remains difficult to make a profit.
Yeah. But then, I mean, from MGM's perspective here, I mean, do you now look at Entain, at your joint venture partner, and think, well, If this continues, I mean, we can just lowball them and take over our US joint venture at a discount price. The growth, the kind of the days of peak US betting or that inflationary rate for US ventures are over. And I think that investors there have got a much more kind of realistic perspective on valuation.
Sure. That's always lurking in the background, isn't it? What will happen in that relationship with between MGM and Entain? That's been the story for how long was it when we were sitting in that hotel in Barcelona listening to those offers come in for Entain? 3 years maybe, something like that. So, God, that's I'm not sure that's a great reflection on my life that's how I'm measuring it now.
But even look, being reflective of it, you know, when you were there and you were analyzing it, they were the golden goose, Entain, and they were being praised for a very aggressive strategy that had given them such a big valuation at the time. And it's amazing, you know, how quickly, you know, the script can change.
Yeah, that's right. And it'll be interesting. Well, more than interesting, I'd say this. This is probably the most fascinating of the stories that we cover. Actually, I think, you know, I find it the corporate intrigue and the takeover rumors, and you know, it's a bit gossipy. It's a bit of a soap opera as well.
It's very Netflix.
Yeah.
you would be paying your £10 subscription.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much all we've got time for today. I'm just going to leave you with one quote from the final page of the presentation, from the investor presentation last week. It finishes with a refreshed sustainability charter, of which there are four things on it. They're all extremely reasonable, but the one that made me smile was one of their goals is to always comply with in-market regulations. I'm not sure how they managed to come up with that after the last couple of years they've had. But still, thank you very much for today, Ted, and thanks for listening, and we'll be back again tomorrow with another episode of iGaming Daily.
Thank you for listening to today's iGaming Daily podcast, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. If you want to find out more about some of the subjects raised today, feel free to explore any of the sites in the SBC News Network or check out the latest edition of the SBC Leaders magazine. Happy reading.